The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to We the People. Good afternoon. You're joining your hosts, Aaron and Bill. Our engineer, Bob Martin, who had a lot of really good music in the first hour. So if you missed it, we were being the knuckleheads for the XM Bank portion of the program.
We're smart now, though.
We're way smarter than we were when we started.
We just had Bill doing his old job for old time's sake.
We don't do a lot of homework on shows like that, because if we do, then we don't ask any questions, and we don't ask what you probably want to know. But if you were an expert, you were disappointed in us, because we were dopes about it. So anyway, we are now being joined by Lauren Price with Veteran Warriors. If I can just simply scroll down my page here. You can find us online, wethepeopleradio.us. We try to put all the information for our guests and the topics and the, you know, different things that come up, so that you don't have to try to write them while you're driving in your car or whatever you're doing while you're listening. So it's all on there for you. Veteran Warriors is a great organization out of Florida, started by Lauren Price. And I have their mission statement here. Our goal is to be the catalyst which forces the necessary changes to the manner in which the Department of Veterans Affairs does business with the veteran. God knows that's a lofty mission.
Mm-hmm. Lots of material to work with
and,
there.
And, you know, it's a never-ending mission. So do we have Lauren on there? We had a little calling fun there for a second. Hey, Lauren, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Aaron?
Super. So we didn't really plan anything. I did link the program from March 15th that we had on there with you, and I pulled over some of the similar webpage things. But, you know, you and I were emailing on a case the other day, and I thought, geez, we haven't talked to you in forever. So what's been going on?
Well, as we all are aware, the VA is in the hot seat, as well. Much deserved. The Department of Veterans Affairs has come under significant scrutiny because there's an election.
To say the least.
We could call it that.
It would be nice.
If significant is like a house just fell on them and all they have are their little stripy legs and their red shoes hanging out, yeah, that's pretty significant.
Yeah. There's a lot of media coverage, but I have to say that it's generated solely because right now there's a presidential race starting, and those candidates are what's the hot topic. So everybody, immigration and veterans. So, I had a long talk with representatives of one of the people running for office for the presidency, and that person said, well, I think we need to disband the VA. I said, well, here's the deal. If we disband the VA, we have no mechanism in place currently to take care of our veterans who are coming back from war. And, 600 ground troops back in Syria right now.
With no boots on the ground, they must be wearing some other kind of shoes.
Yeah, they're wearing high heels.
Yeah. That's not too far from the truth from what I've been hearing, though.
That's true.
The most pathetic part is that he actually agrees that, the POTUS agrees, that there are 600 boots on ground in Syria now. But somebody's got to take care of those 600 guys, or the 6,000, or the 60,000, or the 600,000. Or the 22 million who have served in a foreign combat zone, who have served their country, and somebody's got to take care of them. And it doesn't have to be, and I'm not referring solely to medical, but it doesn't have to be a department, which was never, ever set up to be, at any point since the Civil War, to be a federal agency. It was set up to be a kind of like the USO. it was kind of an afterthought. Here, we'll throw him a bone. And what happened was, holy crap, we went into World War One, and we had over 250,000 soldiers that went over in World War One and came back and needed help. And then we had World War Two, and we had almost 750,000 soldiers that went over there, soldiers, airmen, marines, that went over there into Europe and into the Far East and said, we're going to do our job. We come home and we need help. At that point, it was under the Department of the Army and the Secretary of War. Now we have an agency that never was ever set up to be a federal agency, that's been piecemealed together, kind of like Florida clapboard homes, and they're trying to backpedal and fix all the holes. Instead of looking forward, and they get warning, Department of Veterans Affairs knew about the Gulf War, knew about the Second Gulf War, knew about the invasion, knew about the surge, knew about Vietnam, knew how many veterans were coming home. They were told at every briefing with the POTUS how many veterans were going to be coming home on a monthly basis. And yet they consistently, to this very day, tell everybody, we didn't know, we didn't plan for this, and all this. We can't keep up. And on any given month, there's a reason why they're screwed up, because then it always falls back to the veterans. Oh, well, the Niemer decision, which allowed Agent Orange claims to come through. Oh, we had the surge in Iraq. Oh, we had the drawdown in Iraq. Oh, we had the end of hostilities in Afghanistan. It's all our fault, because we suddenly showed up and asked for the services that we were contracted to receive.
But see, that's their only job, is to look out after the veterans. And I mean, they don't have to worry about anything else. I mean, if that's your only job, is to forecast and take care of current problems, I don't get it. And what about this? Well, what if you were going to be an employee of the VA, would it help if you had to be a veteran? Do you think that would make a difference?
No, actually, well, legitimately, 20%, and this is overall agency-wide, they like to talk about over 30% are in claims, but it's overall just slightly over 20% agency-wide are veterans, because we get veterans preference if you're disabled. So if you're 50% disabled, you can get a veterans preference to work there. We have it firsthand from whistleblowers that they will not ever be put in positions where they can make decisions that impact a veteran's benefits or services. So they can go work in the mailroom. They can work in on-the-floor care in healthcare. But they cannot work in a place under the current structure where they can have any impact on benefits or services.
And see, that was my next question, is why not management? Because that's where the big decisions are being made, and that seems like where all the problems are originating, is in the management. Why not get somebody in there that understands the problem to help fix it? Because I really truly believe they understand it from a veteran's point of view.
Well, I will tell you this. The predecessor to the current secretary was a veteran. General Shinseki was a general. He was a four-star general when he was appointed to the secretary position. Except General Shinseki had not served boots on ground in over 30 years. General Hickey, who's now just resigned because she's afraid of having a subpoena stuffed in her face. Yeah, I've had firsthand conversations directly with her. We call her the advocates in the world. We call her the cheerleader, because that's actually what she was at the Air Force Academy. She was actually a cheerleader for the Air Force football team.
Oh my gosh.
No,
you know,
you're kidding me.
I'm not exaggerating. Look up her resume.
Oh my.
She was a cheerleader for the Air Force football team.
Why am I not surprised? How did she become a general?
None of us are surprised.
How did she become a general?
Spent up to her very last day, her last, and many are calling it her last love letter, talking about how great the VA is.
Yeah.
I actually had first-hand conversations with her asking her to account for, there are 10 claims categories. 10. The VA, the VBA, Veterans Benefits Administration, only talks about 4. All the numbers they published have published for over 2 years. They only talk about 4. A reporter who is a local reporter but does national stuff and has worked on VA issues for 15 years asked her point blank, well, is Mrs. Price telling the truth? Well, yes, she is. However, and anytime you say however in the military, we all say comma, whatever. We're all getting boned.
Whole truth.
However. Oh, there you go.
I paraphrase General Hickey. The VA and its stakeholders made a decision on what was going to be talked about. The stakeholders, in my humble opinion, as a lowly E6, serving 10 years in the military.
That'd be your humble but accurate opinion?
Extremely humble. My humble opinion is stakeholders means veterans and employees and those who, American taxpayers who are footing the bill. Those are stakeholders. Because when I talk to my mortgage broker or I talk to my financial accountant who handles my finances, he tells me I'm a stakeholder because I have a financial interest in what they're doing. Mm. Apparently, General Hickey's determination of a stakeholder means the VSOs and the union representatives.
Oh, wow.
Because those are the people that made the decision not to talk about the other 9 categories of the claims that are being handled, pensions, DIC claims, accrued claims, which are at one point where 700% increase over the year before. Accrued claims are when the veteran dies waiting for their claim to be resolved. Now she's afraid, and the only way to get around being subpoenaed by the House Committee on Veterans Affairs was for her to resign.
Does that really get her off the hook? I mean, can't she still be asked to appear?
It doesn't. The House Committee on Oversight and Investigations will have to request that a federal investigation be opened by the Department of Justice, and Department of Justice will be the only one to be able to subpoena her.
Mm.
And here's the issue. I've been told by beyond reliable, unimpeachable sources at the House ONI that they have handed numerous hundreds of cases to Department of Justice and have been told they will not open an investigation. Up to and including Tomah, Wisconsin. Up to and including Phoenix, Arizona. Up to and including Haley in Tampa. The DOJ will not open investigations.
And what's their logic on that? Why not?
There's no response. There's no answer as to why they won't.
I guess they don't have to give you a reason.
No, they say no, they decline. When you're talking to federal agencies, you get a yes, we will, or no, we won't.
No, we won't. Nothing to see here. Move along.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
So when people scream and shout and jump on the roofs asking for federal investigations, the investigations have happened by the ONI, by the House Committee, by the chairman, by the vice chairman. These people have opened these investigations. And when they find enough probable cause for wrongdoing that it needs to be referred to DOJ or the OIG. Linda Halliday, God bless her, she has come out repeatedly and said there needs to be DOJ investigation. DOJ continues to walk away. For the longest time, we believed it was Eric Holder. Now we believe it's coming from higher.
Mm. Interesting. Yeah.
Well, that's an eye-opener. Hey, Lauren, we need to take a really quick break, and then we'll be right back. So much on this particular topic. Gosh, I think I need to look up General Hickey's cheerleading record, though, because...
Let me get a picture.
You know, we don't have a picture on the website, and that's just wrong. But
I actually do have a really good picture of her cheerleading.
Oh, could you please send it to me? Send it to me, and I'll put it on the site. Because, you know, honestly, that has always baffled me. It's like, this woman is terrible under pressure. How the heck did she get to this position? So, yes, the fact that she was the company cheerleader does not surprise me. And we're sorry for all you smart cheerleaders out there who somehow slipped in unnoticed. And break the stereotype. So, you are listening to We the People Radio. You can find us online, wethepeopleradio.us, and we'll be right back. Said Hickey. Did they say Mickey or Hickey?
I believe it was Hickey.
I think it was too. Is this the General's theme song? It's fantastic. Wow. Who are the prophets who wrote this song? Who is this?
Tony Basil.
Well, never heard of him, but obviously.
It's a her.
Oh, it's a her. Okay, obviously.
Back in the early days of MTV when they actually played music.
Oh, well, very interesting. Apparently they knew Allison Hickey was going to be the Undersecretary for Veterans Affairs.
It is, in fact, Mickey.
What are the odds of that? Huh.
And I must be polite, and I have to caveat all of my previous statements by saying, I have had to contact former Undersecretary Hickey on three separate occasions for extremely egregious claims for my veterans issues. Each time I contacted her directly and I had communication with her directly, she made sure that the issue was resolved. And very expeditiously. Hmm. I mean, light years comparatively to what is the norm across the nation. I mean, the average wait time for a claim is 2 to 4 years. So when I call her, I'm at year 3 for a veteran, and I call her or email her, and I'm getting stuff resolved in weeks. Do I believe that she actually was out of touch? Not so much. And I have evidence to that effect.
I think Shinseki was kind of out of touch.
Shinseki was, I truly believe, was completely oblivious.
I think so, too.
To everything going on.
He actually told a guy that I work with, he's his sheriff now, but he served under him, and he had a chance to see him, I don't know, some gathering at some point. And he actually was shocked that the people in his command in Veterans Affairs were actually lying to him. He had never, as a general, a four-star general, I mean, that he knew of, people didn't just turn around and lie to his face and then go about their day. And so that was a whole new deal for him. But I think Kiki knew because she actually lied for them in some cases that I was working on, and she knew darn well what the answer was, and she actually posited like two or three different scenarios that were completely fiction with evidence in front of her.
Well, Aaron and I, you and I, worked on a case, a very well-known, publicized case, on where a particular regional office had hidden almost 15,000 claims. And I was actually in D.C. When we finally got it to CBS to do a story. That took us 4 months. God help me. Because, you know, VA is not important to anybody, even though it's the second largest budget in the government and takes the largest chunk of tax dollars.
And people think that they're starved for funding, and it's like, no, they're not.
Well, that's
not
all
starved.
You ever hear is when there's a problem, they don't have enough money. They need more money to fix the problem.
No, say that again, Lauren. No. Give that statistic
it's
again.
The second largest budget in the government on the budget lines. When you're talking about huge federal government budget, the very largest budget in the government is the Department of Defense. Which it has been historically since the First World War. So people get twisted about Reaganomics and all that crap. It's always been that way. The second largest is the Department of Veterans Affairs. And they have gotten, in spite of what many of the very far right think, for the last 9 years, the Department of Veterans Affairs has gotten every dime they've asked for, including emergency funding for things like Choice Act and other things I could start slinging.
Now when you say budget, does that include the benefits that the veterans are actually receiving?
So
it's not just what it takes to run the administration.
They pay out, for veterans, myself included. I'm 100% disabled. I have a terminal lung condition that I contracted in Iraq. I also inadvertently crushed both the basal joints in both hands driving convoys. Didn't know it till I got home, and they had to remove them. So I can't tie my own shoes. That's okay. I don't care anymore.
That's what got me.
I live in Florida. I wear flip flops. We don't care.
Yeah, there you go.
move to California. You'll be fine.
Florida, California, Belize, I don't care. As long as I can wear flip flops, I don't need to tie my shoes. The biggest issue, though, is that is including disabled veterans, that is including their health care, that is including payroll and bonuses and everything. They've gotten every dime for 9 years. 9 years in a row. And the right will tell you every time, well, the VA is underfunded. My behind. I've got a right cheek that they can all kiss because I can show them dollars, dollars, absolute tax dollars, that the VA gets every year. What they didn't get this year was an additional $5 billion to fund Denver, the hospital from hell. That we have, the whistleblower came forward 4 years ago. His name, he goes by Dino. I'll just leave it at that. He goes by Dino. We have all of his records. He came forward 4 years ago. He went to the House Committee. He went to the ONI. He reported all the corruption that was going on at Denver. Every lick of it. They refused to open an investigation unless he stayed in his job and kept quiet and got somebody on tape. Now we find that Denver is a goat rope and Denver is a giant money pit.
I'm sorry, we didn't hear what you said after goat rope.
He emailed me out of the blue, and he's like, all he said was, I told you so. And everybody thought he was crazy. They tried to have him arrested. They tried to have him committed. They said he was insane. He's not insane.
Makes you want to be a whistleblower.
Yeah, another benefit.
The money that goes through the VA if we took, and I'm going to give you the best example, one of our models that we developed, the Choice Act, at a long, hard-fought battle with the chairman's office on the House committee, because I did not want the Choice Act to go through, because we have, under current VA law, a thing called non-VA care, used to be called fee basis, in which they're supposed to pay for when a veteran goes to a civilian medical facility for care because the VA can't provide it.
They're supposed to.
They write law and make new law, and turned out to be a giant money pit again, $17 billion. $11 billion of that went to the contractors who hosed that mess up. And there's $6 billion left that the secretary wants to rape and dump it into his general budget. Except we have the process in place already. I have spent 3 years working on non-VA care bills for veterans. Veterans that, you know, 9 o'clock at night, they're having a heart attack. They go to a civilian hospital. They get med flighted out to a level one trauma care center, and they spend 2 months in the hospital. And the VA denies the bills for 2.5 years until the veterans' credit, their credit score is roughly around 390. Mm. And I'm on the phone with Congressman LaMalfa's office or Congressman Cook's office or Congressman Bilirakis's office to force them to pay the bills.
And they should do that under the fee basis program.
Exactly.
And as an emergency, right? I mean, if it's an emergency,
right.
and the person
is... It's a life-threatening emergency. It's sure. supposed to be automatic.
And, you know, it's funny because if you had regular insurance, you don't run into these kinds of things. I mean, when you have an emergency, it gets processed and it's done. But for some reason, that can't happen with the VA.
Well, and it won't happen with the VA. I will tell you, I've lived in both worlds. I was an Army wife for 11 years. Then I became a civilian and just lived out in the civilian world until I was 39, and then became a member of the military. Then I came home and I was a veteran. And I started in the VA process. And I started watching what was going on, and I met with risk adjusters for civilian insurance companies, who are the guys that tell civilian insurance companies how to keep their risk level down. I met with the founder of eSurance and had them show me exactly how claims have to be processed for workers' comp claims, which is what VA claims are, really.
Mm-hmm.
These guys opened my eyes, because when I saw what was going on in the civilian world compared to the VA... I go to civilian doctors. I refuse to go to the VA because they refuse to treat my lung condition. Doctor told me unless my PTSD was cured, I wouldn't get treated.
Really?
And there's no such cure for PTSD, so.
Why is that? Why would they attach the two? Why would they have that stipulation in there?
Well, the funny part is he is the fellow for pulmonary exposures for combat veterans at James A. Healy. That is his title, and he makes a high six figures to do so. To stand there and take care of those of us who've contracted some kind of lung condition while we're deployed. And he told me that he wouldn't even examine me. He never even put his hands on me, never took my blood pressure, nothing. And said he wouldn't until my PTSD was cured. The issue being, it wasn't about me. I didn't give a crap anymore. It was about, this is what my brothers and sisters go through. When you've got a veteran that has bona fide, highly documented combat service and highly documented combat exposures, the first order of business, according to an exposure letter issued April 26th of 2010 by the VA, they're supposed to comply and treat and reat. And they won't. They behave like a civilian insurance company who has tried to cut their losses.
Sure.
So they're using the PTSD as leverage?
They look at it.
So they use the PTSD as leverage to finalize that claim before they take on a lung condition?
Oh, yes.
That's what they're doing?
Well, and PTSD is the one thing that the VA will staunchly stand by, that we fake, that we lie about, that we manipulate, yet a RAND study, which I'll email to Aaron, a RAND study that was done by the DOD showed that less than 0.1% of soldiers and veterans coming off active duty were committing fraud on PTSD. And yet the VA refuses to acknowledge that. They refuse to acknowledge combat exposures. They refuse to acknowledge, unless you're missing a limb, they don't talk to you. And even then, and this is why, like, Dr. Clancy, who has just now stepped back to her second position as the undersecretary, Dr. Clancy would not step in the middle of or talk about or publicly come out and direct anyone in the healthcare facilities to stop kicking our PTSD vets out of the emergency rooms. At the height of Phoenix, Dr. Clancy was named the interim undersecretary, and Dr. Clancy not once made a public statement saying, you will not do this. The level and breadth of corruption and malfeasance and absolute dereliction of duty that is happening within the VA system, the only cure for it is a complete overhaul. We've examined the contracts that employ all federal employees under AFGE, American Federation of Government Employees. The year that the backlog started was the year that a brand new contract went into place and a brand new set of parameters for how they got paid.
Oh, interesting.
And until that contract's gone, and until that contract is revised to go back to the way it used to be, the backlog will never disappear.
Hey, hang on, Lauren. We need to talk about that some more. I have never heard that before. We need to take a quick break, though, because we're only 10 minutes overdue. Sorry.
I'm so sorry.
No. Well, I wasn't paying attention. I was listening to you. So we're speaking with Lauren Price. She is with Veteran Warriors. Their goal is to work with congressional leaders, Veterans Affairs Administration, and the veterans to bring about the necessary changes to the manner in which VA handles veteran affairs. And I think you can see Lauren's pretty serious about this. She's a good resource. We'll be right back and finish up the hour with her. This is We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
With those feet, stay frosty. In a world without air, stay frosty. Like that engine model said, don't want them to get you go, don't show them where it's yet. And that's just what I did. Stay frosty.
Woo! Look out!
Stay frosty now. My hand, I won't look.
What does he say?
Stay frosty.
That's what I thought he said.
That means stay alert.
Oh, stay frosty.
But you missed the goat reference. That was
that
was the real reason I played it.
Okay.
Because we were roping earlier.
Lauren, when you said goat roping, I just want you to know you derailed us for about 5 minutes. We were here goofing off while you couldn't see us. you have to goof around a little bit with this stuff or you wind up running around with a machete waving over your head.
No, you actually just sit in the corner and go.
Yeah.
Then there's that option. So now tell us that again. I have never heard that. The change in policy and what that did creating, and how that created the backlog.
I will make this really fast. because this is for the benefits side only.
Sure.
In 2010, the union contract for all the benefits side employees came up for renewal. And the union representatives, the big guys in Washington, came in and said, hey, our people, you know, we're 2010, we're starting to see a lot of soldiers coming back, you know, the stuff's getting busy. They don't feel, the employees, don't feel like they're being rewarded for all the work they're doing. So what we want to do is we want to rework the way they get compensated from the lowest rater, the very bottom guy, to, you know, the regional director. All those people in the middle, and there's about six levels of supervision that go on in the VBA from the lowest rater to the director. And the VBA not wanting to rock the boat and not wanting to have a mass walkout of 100,000 employees said, sure, we'll, you know, we don't, because we're not going to look into it. We're not going to fact check that, you know, what you're saying. Sure, we'll abide by it. And they changed the union contract as to how each employee that handles claims is actually paid and compensated, including benefits and bonuses. What happened was it went from a case benefit process to, if you close a case, if you actually close a claim for a veteran, you'll get your promotion points or performance awards is actually what they call them. Two, what's called in the collection industry, keystroking. It's taken directly from the collection industry. It's called keystroking, and it means that if Aaron, you have a claim, and your claim has been sitting there for 6 months, it doesn't matter how long or what it's for, you can have 10 claims or one. I open the claim, I send you a letter. The keystroking that was involved in that process now creates a performance award for me. So they changed it to that. And that went into effect in January 1 of 2011. And from that point forward, and I actually have all the historical data, our organization actually put together, I took our bean counter guys, our data geeks, and I put them on that task, and I made them go back at that point, which was 2 years ago, I made them go back 4 years prior to look at where the backlog started and what caused it. Within 6 months of the new contract going into effect, the backlog started. Because they can open a claim, send a letter, yep, duly noted, we're working on your claim, and I can't tell you, there are millions of veterans that will tell me, yep, we're working on, I get a letter today saying, they've had my claim for 3 years, but they sent me a letter today saying, I'm working on your claim.
And then they tell, Congress that no claims are more than 125 days old.
But they're in fact not doing anything, even though they just sent a letter out saying. So it gives the veteran the warm and fuzzy feeling that they're definitely
in
working
theory.
On it. Yeah, it's in the process, which
well,
it isn't.
And there's a second half to this. And actually, Senator Boxer, who has now decided she's not going to go for her seat again.
Yay.
Senator Boxer is the only one that actually asked us this question. Back in February, we went to D.C., and I met with Senator Boxer, and Senator Boxer asked us, we were talking about dependent claims. Dependent claims are called when you get married, you get divorced, you add kids, you have stepkids, what have you. Everybody in the world has these. And that the average wait time is 3 years to add your wife or your kid. Your kid's in kindergarten before the kid's added to your out of your status, which is, you know, it's a few hundred bucks. It's not a huge deal.
Still, what takes
and
3 years?
Senator Boxer asked us, she's like, why is this taking so long? I said, well, here's the problem. The VA has a standalone secondary system that adds dependence to claims, because most, in most jurisdictions, their official records, marriage, birth, things like that, are logged in officially on, in most jurisdictions. So they don't have to have you send these documents in, so no person has to touch anything. All they have to do is do a quick check through vital statistics. Yep, yep, you got married. Yep, you had a kid. Okay, cool, we start paying you. 2 years after they started using that system internally, and that's, I have all their documents to show, they had it running, up and running for over 2 years. They announced that we have this system. If you just go on here, we'll get you paid within 5 days. Senator Boxer, who's in California, heard a lot of flack from veterans saying, you know, I've been waiting 6 years for them to add my wife. Another telling me if I just do this, I can get her, get paid immediately the little extra stipend for having a dependent. But what happened to the 6 years I've been waiting?
Oh, and so it's not retroactive. It's going to be effective as of that day.
Sure, because they tricked him into going and putting it online.
That's actually under Title 38. In Title 38, which is the VA law, that's the Bible, it says that if the veteran files a second claim for the same thing, regardless of what it is, they file a second claim for the exact same thing, they take the new estate.
Sure.
And I actually have them saying, well, at some point, we'll go back and review. If you have another claim in for your dependent adding, we'll go back, maybe we will go back and look at it and decide whether or not you're due any retroactive pay. And I had just had a case. This case just closed out 60 days ago. They'd been waiting 8 years, 8 years to add a wife and two kids, two stepchildren. And they'd waited 8 years, and they didn't get into the new system. They waited until the whole thing processed through. They got almost $40,000 in retroactive pay, because that's legitimately what it should have been. But that would have been gone, and that would have been in the coffers of the VA had they used the new system. And
that's incredible. Well, I guess, how many people are getting screwed
up? I guess the $64,000 question is, you know, and we've got to take one more quick break before the top of the hour, but the thing that everybody asks is, what's the incentive? I mean, this isn't like it's their money. So,
no,
so,
it isn't.
So why is it?
The incentive is the bonus money.
Exactly. So let's go into that a little bit in the last few minutes when we come back, because you've got to see the incentive in order to see. You just, the method to the, the method to the madness isn't there unless you look at the bonus structure.
Yep.
And they lie about that a lot, so we'd like to hear that from you. We'll be back with Lauren Price from Veteran Warriors, and you're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
Well, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. That's my story.
That's my story.
Oh, that's my story.
That's my story.
Yeah, I ain't got a witness, and I can't prove it. But that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
Yes, and we've heard that before. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. I'm almost dying here listening to that.
You know what? Uh-oh. We wind up with a lot of the VA is a treasure trove of musical fun for Bob. He never ceases to find one more new one. That's a new one. All right.
That was awesome.
So
that was so succinct.
See, that's why we can have fun while we, you know, bash our heads on the table. So,
no.
Okay, explain
We're
this.
We're not the ones bashing our heads.
Well, that's true. We probably shouldn't because if we do, nobody will fix it. But how is it that they, God, we have 2 minutes. How does the bonus deal work? Because they Congress has actually told them they're not allowed to pay bonuses, for starters.
And the VA said, screw you.
Yes, exactly, which
We're
is what they
do
usually
anyway.
Do. Gave them the finger and walked on is how I like to put it.
Yeah.
So, okay, how are they doing it, and how's it structured, as far as you know?
It's real simple. The lowest level rater doesn't get a bonus. But they are motivated by things like, pizza parties, things like that. They get a certificate for pizza or gas card or what have you internally because the directors of the facilities get huge bonuses and their immediate and second immediate subordinates get huge bonuses for coming in under the numbers. And it worked. And for those listeners that don't quite grasp this, it's no different than the wait list. I use this analogy. If an x-ray costs $1,000 and the head of radiology's budget is $10,000 a year, for him to get his bonus, he has to come in under budget. So he's only going to book nine x-rays a year. And everybody else gets stuck on these secret wait lists. It works the same in the VBA, the benefit side. If they touch a certain amount of accounts, if they actually do send out paper, these letters, on a certain amount of accounts, we've had letters generated that were completely false, as Aaron knows, that they were sent, they weren't even sent out. They were generated to dead veterans. And there was a mail code on the system shut off so that the mail actually never went out. But it looked like the letter went out to the veteran saying, we're working on your claim. But they still get their bonus. And they still get their $180,000 a year salary. And that's just start as a director. That's the bare rock bottom.
Yeah, that number, that for our listeners, that number would be familiar. You can look up at Diana Rubens. Hey, Lauren, we've got to jump off here.
We started on Miss Rubens.
I know. We've had more fun at Miss Rubens' expense. Okay, so we're waiting on a picture of General Allison Hickey as a cheerleader, and send me the PTSD study done by Rand. And then we got to have you on again on a different day because we ran out of time. Thanks a million.
And you know what? I so am so grateful for you guys having us on. And we so appreciate you having us on.
We love Veteran Warriors, and you help me a lot. Thanks. All right. Find all the info on wethepeopleradio.us. It'll be up shortly.